I just want to make a suggestion before I start that you put on your cloak of humility now. Because if you don't, you won't hear what I'm saying. I'm not trying to be smart. I am saying what I need to say. If you don't listen with humility and realize that God is speaking to your heart tonight through the Word of God, you're going to miss it. And what He has to say tonight, I've never been more sure of anything in my life than what the Lord's laid on my heart about the judgment seat of Christ. More than anything I've ever taught in my life, I know what I know that He's told me to tell you. And God's Word is absolute truth. And we're going to hear it. Hallelujah. I must, before I really get into things tonight, a few weeks ago on Sunday morning when the pastor was gone, I taught on the judgment seat of Christ. And I just want to refresh your memory a little bit about that. What is the judgment seat of Christ? The word judgment seat is the Greek word rhema, or bema, not rhema, bema. Bema seat. A raised place or platform, a stage or pulpit for a speaker. An elevated seat like a throne in the theater at Caesarea on which Herod sat. Who is the judge? Jesus. Who are the subjects? All believers. And I went into at that time, I'm not going to tonight, the difference between the judgment seat of Christ and the white throne judgment. There will be no believers at the white throne judgment. There will be no unbelievers at the judgment seat of Christ. Only believers. If you're a believer, you will be there. You're not going to bypass it. You're not going to get by without going to the judgment seat of Christ. That's the Word of God. In Hebrews 9:27, it says, it's appointed a man once to die, after that, the judgment. Now he's talking to every person that's ever drawn breath on this earth. We'll either be at the great white throne judgment as unbelievers, or you'll sit at the judgment seat of Christ as a believer. And the Bible's clear, you won't be sitting down, you will be standing. It's appointed. That means it's been a set and established and decreed by God. You will be there. Then in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, let's go there. Just quickly go through that again so that we, because I'm not going to spend any time on that particular one, but just to refresh our memory. In verse 10, it says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. In the, where's I got it? I got it here somewhere in the Weiss translation. It reads it this way. It's very good. It is necessary in the nature of the case for all of us to be openly shown as to our true character before the judgment seat of Christ, in order that each one may receive a recompense with respect to the things which were practiced through the agency of our body, whether they were good or bad. Now, the word appear there means to be visible, show openly, appear before someone. And the important fact is of what he's bringing out here is that we will be revealed as we are. In the condition that you leave this world, spiritually, and in your soul, in your thinking process, in your decision making, and all the stuff that's in your soul, that's exactly the way you will appear at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, some of you, when I was teaching here a couple of Sundays ago, no one really said anything to me, but enough of you said something to other people, and then it got back to me I made some statements, and I read out of the book, The Final Quest, that, pardon? You said that you didn't agree because, you know, I made the statement that all of your thoughts can be read by everybody. And I didn't give any scripture for it at that time. But some of you didn't like that, and you said because I read it out of a book that, that wasn't good enough for you. And that's a good statement. I don't have a problem with that. I agree with you. But the Lord's given me some things to share with you that will help you scripturally. He gave me some scriptures for it. But also, He gave me something to show you. So I want to give you an illustration on the on the overhead of what I think you'll kind of look like in your soul area when you get up there. A lot of dark spots. See, your soul is being purified. Your soul is being cleansed. That's how He's changing you. Your spirit man is pure and righteous before Him, cleansed by the blood of Jesus. But there's other stuff in us. That's one reason that some of you didn't like what I said, is because there's stuff in your mind that you don't want nobody reading. There's not a one of us in here that'd like somebody to be able to read every thought that's in our thinking process. So that's the dark stuff. Now, as you go down towards the judgment seat of Christ, then it's going to start getting lighter, because you're going to start getting rid of it. He's going to start getting you out of it there. What you don't allow Him to get out here, you're going to have gotten out there. And it just keeps getting lighter and lighter and lighter. And lighter until there's nothing left. There won't be anything left in you. And at that point in time, you don't matter, but you don't care about somebody reading your thoughts, because there ain't nothing left there that's a problem. Now, during the teaching tonight, just so you can kind of think about this, I'm going to leave it half and half. How's that? See, over on that side, that's the clean part, and this over here is the... Every time you look up there, now you're going to remember that. We will appear or be revealed as we are. Now, in verse 10 here, it says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive." Remember, we taught that the word "receive" here means to take care of. Those things that are in us, God is going to take care of. And you'll know it. And you'll be in agreement with that. And then it says the things done in the body according to what has been done. The word "done" here means expressing an action as continued or not yet completed. What one does repeatedly and habitually. How many of you are still doing things habitually that you really know God doesn't want you doing? Am I the only one in here? I don't think so. That's what He's going to deal with. That's those black spots, those dark spots that would be taken out of us. Now go to Romans 14. Verse 10 again. And He says, "But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." The word "judge" here means to form and express a judgment or opinion as to any person or thing, more commonly, unfavorably, to make a judgment according to appearances. We make too many judgments. We decide on things about each other by what we see with the natural eye. And you know what you see in the natural here is not what's going to be real over there. And He wants us to quit doing that here, because the less we do it here, the less we'll have to answer for over there. Now, I agree with that book, The Final Quest. When Rick was over there, when he came and he seen the door, the judgment seat of Christ, it said on that door, it was the darkest door in the place and the ugliest one. And he asked the angel why. And the angel said, because that has not been taught to the church in the body of Christ, because they don't want to go there. They don't want to face that. Brother and sister, we need to hear about it. How many know that God's word is true? That you will answer? I will answer for everything that I've done and said? We try to make God's word and God's love like what we want it to be, so that we make it easy on ourselves. Instead of you changing to become what the word of God says, we're trying to change the word of God to become what we want, so we make it easy on the flesh. Is that too straight? I don't think so, because that's it. That's what's going on in the churches today. And it's not going to be like that over there. We're going to stand there and give an account for everything we've done and said in the body. And we just don't like to face that point. Verse 11, it says, "For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. So then each one of us shall give account of himself to God." Think he's telling the truth there? That word "each one" means each one separately. The word "account" there is logos. In other words, with your mouth, you will speak words back to him. I think about there's probably only two words that I'll probably say. "I'm sorry." How can you stand before him and give an excuse? What excuse will work? See, he took all our excuses away with Jesus on the cross. We don't have an excuse. Boy, this just doesn't get the flesh excited at all, does it? I don't hear anybody jumping up and down or clapping or saying even amen hardly.
Is there going to be anybody else listening?
Good question. Everybody that's there. He's not going to take you off in a room by yourself and take it down that way. We're all going to stand before everybody else. But let me tell you something. Those that have been through it, and they're already pure and clean like that, they'll be praying for you. And the ones that haven't got where you're at yet, they're thinking about what they've got to deal with. So you will be alone. The ones that have been through it, they're not going to condemn you. And the ones that's got to go through it yet, they're not going to say anything either. Guaranteed. It's just you and Jesus. I need to read this at this time. "As I stood before the throne..." Now, you can accept this or reject it, but I like it and I believe it's true. He says, "I felt even lower than a speck of dust. Even so, I felt the Holy Spirit upon me in a greater way than I ever had. It was by His power alone that I was able to stand. It was here that I truly came to understand His ministry as the Comforter. He had led me through the entire journey, even though I had been, for the most part, unaware of His presence. And even in His awesome presence, the Comforter was so mightily with me, I was comfortable. It was clear that the Lord in no way wanted me to be uncomfortable. He only wanted me to know the truth. Human words are not adequate to describe either how awesome or how relieving it was to stand before Him. I had passed the point where I was concerned if the judgment was going to be good or bad. I just knew it would be right and that I could trust my judge." See, we need to let go of the fear that's in us of standing before and having everything exposed. We need to know who He is, and the Holy Spirit will be so strong in you that you're going to love Him, and there's so much love there that this stuff, He just wants to get it out of you. He's not trying to make you look like a fool. He's not trying to show you up before anybody else. His love is in you and on you, and He just wants you to know that He loves you, but the truth has to come out, and you and I have to see the truth so we can let the other go. He just told me as I spoke that word, He says, that is what I want them to see. And so that, because if you don't see something better than what you have, you don't let go of what you have. Amen. But when you see the absolute truth and who He is, you're going to let go of every piece of darkness inside of you and be thankful to God that it's getting put out of you. Because there won't be nothing left but the pureness and the holiness and the glory of God in you. And the Holy Spirit's going to be on you and I so strong that it's going to be very comfortable. Besides that, remember one more thing. Your flesh won't be there. Glory! See, the judgment seat of Christ is not a bad thing. It's your flesh that's afraid of it, and your flesh ain't going to be there, and your flesh is what's keeping you in trouble now. How many agree with that? How many know it's not your mate? It's not your brother? It's not your sister? It's you getting you in trouble. Oh, it's the pastor's fault. Yes, that's right. I'm sorry, Pastor. I forgot it was your fault. Trouble is, God don't agree with that. I've tried to blame people. He don't let me get away with it. I tried to blame my wife years ago, and he wouldn't let me get away with that either. Praise God. Each one will give an account. Okay, let's go over to 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5. I told you I'd give you some scripture on how and why we would know each other's thoughts. This one he gave me today. The other one he gave me as soon as I heard that what people said, the Holy Spirit gave me a different scripture, and we'll go to that in a little bit. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5, it says, "Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness," and catch this, "and reveal the counsels of the heart." Does that sound like everybody's going to know everybody? Yes, because we'll prove this in just a minute. "Then each one's praise will come from God." Go back up to the word time. "Therefore judge nothing before the time." The word judge here is the same as what I read above. It means to form or express a judgment or opinion to any person or thing, more commonly unfavorably, or to make a judgment according to appearances. That's why he says don't do this. But then he comes to the word time, before the time. Well, the word time here, I believe it's kurios, but the thought of it is before, in this case, it means before the proper time. Well, what did he say was the proper time here? Until the Lord comes. In other words, you don't have a right, and I don't have a right to judge anybody by appearances before Jesus comes. Well, that just pretty well takes away any chance we'll ever have. That's the specific time he's talking about, is when the Lord comes. And that's when you leave here. And oh, it's going to be glorious when we get to go up to be with him, but you're going right up to the judgment seat of Christ. Why do I know that? I didn't till just he told me shortly ago. He said, the reason that has to be, he says, because there can be no darkness in heaven. Is there any darkness in God? Jesus? Any of the angels? Nobody in heaven. There's no darkness up there. And so you and I got to go through the judgment seat of Christ so that when we are free of that and we can go all over heaven, it's because there's no darkness left in us. So we go right out of here, into that, get that through that, and then you're free for eternity. That's also where you're going to be rewarded for what you did do by the Spirit. But we'll get to that in a little bit. But that's when that specific time he's talking about is when the Lord comes, who will both bring to light. Now, if you bring something to light, that means you can't hide it anymore. You know, when he turns the lights out in this room, you can do anything you want in here. Nobody can tell a thing you're doing. But when them lights come on, you can't hide nothing. Well, up there, there's no switches on the light. Jesus is the light, and you can't turn him off. And the light's going to be on all of us. Now, I don't know. God's capable, but I don't know. Maybe he's going to do it to all of us at the same time. I don't know that. Maybe he wants to get it done in a hurry. I don't know how that's going to happen, but I know you'll be the only one involved when you and him are doing it. There won't be anybody else involved. He'll both bring to light the hidden things. Now, the hidden things means in a secret place where it cannot be seen. I know psychics say they can, but they can't. Can you see inside of my soul? No. So that's a secret hidden thing as far as man is concerned. That's what you'll take with you to the judgment seat of Christ. And that's where them dark things and the thought processes are at. That's what's going to go there. And that's what's going to step before him until you slowly go through all of those things and get that all worked out to where there's nothing left. Pure holiness before him. All hidden things that are in you will come out. Something else I'm going to read right now. With each encounter, and this is talking about Rick Joyner when he was going down towards the judgment seat of Christ, and he was going in front of these people, and different ones would come out from the groups of people up there and talk with him, and it just happened to be the things that he was guilty of doing also for some reason. But he said every encounter, a veil is being removed. In other words, those dark spots are leaving as he's seeing his sin or his wrongdoing or his attitudes and the different things and his anger and those things that were wrong in him, and he was getting them out and asking forgiveness for them. A veil was being removed, and every time a veil was removed, he would see more of the glory of Jesus, and Jesus kept just getting brighter. And he asked Jesus about it. He said, "Why?" He says, "I haven't changed." But he said, as you get rid of those veils, you are changing. You're seeing reality because Jesus is reality. Each veil is being removed so that you can see him more clearly. You are not changed just by seeing his glory, but by seeing it with an unveiled face. Everyone who comes to the true judgments of God walks a corridor such as this to meet those who can help them remove whatever veils they are still wearing. Those veils that will distort their vision of him. And then he heard a new voice. He says, this new voice said, "What you are experiencing here has been given you on earth." And I want you to hear this, please, because I couldn't explain it any better. What you are given or experiencing here has been given you on earth. Every relationship, every encounter with another person could teach you what you are learning here if you will keep that cloak of humility on. Do you realize that every person you talk to and you get angry and you just took off the cloak of humility and had your way, you didn't have anything removed in your spiritual walk with God. It just got a little bit darker instead of lighter. But when you walk in humility and say, "I'm sorry, forgive me," and you walk in that, then the Holy Ghost is able to come in you and give you a little bit more light and give you more understanding of the living Word of God. He says, learn to always keep your attention fixed on His glory. You are being given this experience now because you will write the vision and those who read it will understand it. I know many, many, many that are reading it are not understanding it. Why? Because they don't have on the cloak of humility. When I said what I said earlier, you've got to put the cloak of humility on before you hear what I say, or you wouldn't hear me. It's an absolute truth. Because if we don't hear with the cloak of humility... I don't know how many of you have read that book, but where these... many men and women of God had gone clear to the top of the mountain, which is the Word of God. They'd been way deep into the mountain, way deep into the Word of God. They'd seen His glory. They'd walked and talked with Jesus. They'd ate of the tree of life. They came back out on the mountain and they went back down to fight the devil, but they wanted to fight the enemy on his territory, and they walked off the mountain. And as they were doing it, Rick turned to wisdom, which is Jesus, and he said, "Let me go stop them." And Jesus turned to him and he said, "Unless they have the cloak of humility on like you do, they can't hear you." That's why so many Christians today are not hearing what God is saying to them, is because they're walking in their own pride. Your pride will destroy you. There's many, many thousands of Christians have gone on to glory way before their time because they did it in their own pride. They did it their way. But I want you to remember something. Every encounter you have with any person in this world at this time will either help you in as far as the judgment seat of Christ is concerned, or it will hinder you. It will either help you take some of these veils off and get you a little bit cleaner, and you can get them worked out before you get there, or you'll have that many more to work out when you get there. Oh, isn't this fun? Whew. Tell by the joy I see on your faces. Thank you, Pastor. He said that was just my interpretation. That's okay. Okay, now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're in Corinthians here, remember. We're in 1 Corinthians. Go to chapter 13 and let's go to verse 12. This is the first one he gave me when I, as soon as I'd heard And the thought hit me, well, where is some scripture on that we will know each other, we will understand each other, and everybody will be able to read our thoughts. And this is the first one he gave me. He says, now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as also I am known. How well does Jesus know you? On the level as the creature, in other words, the one that is created by God Himself, to the level that He's given us of His truth and the purity that will be in us there, we will know each other as we are known, which will totally know all each other's thoughts. That's what He's saying here. Okay. The word mirror here, and in the ancient times, ancient mirrors were of polished metal, not glass. It means that we now only see in an unclear image obscurely. You can take, now they have ways of making metal so fine today that it's about as good as a mirror. But back then they didn't have anything. They had pumice stone, and they would take and flatten out a piece of metal and get it as thin as they could and flat as they could, and then they'd rub it with this and get it as shiny as they could, and that was their mirrors. Well, how many know that you couldn't see anything in focus? If I took and backed that thing off, it would take that out of focus and you wouldn't be able to see it clearly. Well, that's what Paul was talking about there. They couldn't see clearly. And we can't see clearly because our flesh and five senses is what keep us out of focus in our spiritual life. The Word of God is very clear. The Word of God is not like an old mirror that they had back then. The Word of God is like the finest mirror they make today and then some. I mean, it's absolutely perfect. And you can go and look at the Word of God, and then your five flesh, your senses come up, and you go by what you see in the natural, or what you hear in the natural, or what you feel in the natural, and you judge yourself or you judge others by your five senses, and you're way out of focus. I'm way out of focus spiritually when I'm talking and through my five senses. That's what he's talking about here. And that's what he's saying. He says, now we only see through a glass darkly. Rather, we see through a mirror. We're out of focus down here. But he says, when we get over there, we won't be out of focus. In the first place, there won't be no flesh there. In the second place, he's going to take all them dark spots out of you, and you're going to see absolutely clearly. And every time you say, yes, Lord, I am sorry, I was wrong, forgive me for treating that person like that or acting like that or having an attitude like that, that's going to make you a little bit more clear and a little bit more clear and a little bit more clear, and someday you'll be just perfect. Hallelujah. Now, some of these men in that book was a reference to, gives me some understanding. They said it seemed like, and this was talking about the ones that were the farthest out, the ones that had just done most of their life living it. They got saved, but then they read and did things their own way. And they said it seemed like that it took us about as long as our life was on earth is how long it seemed to take us to get through this. And the reason he said that is because God and Jesus Christ want you and I to understand that the things that we do down here and how we treat each other is important, and it's not just going to be cast out. We've got to learn some lessons. We've got to look at who He is. We've got to look at this thing through reality. And that's why I'm saying and keep encouraging us that if we will treat each other with love and respect and begin to change the things that are in us to become more like Him down here, the less time we're going to have to deal with it up there. Now, ain't this exciting? What God wants to do is to help us to get busy and mean business when you serve Jesus here and now. Don't serve Jesus like, well, when He comes, I'll get to go be with Him and it doesn't matter what I do now. Brother and sister, it matters the attitudes we have. It matters how we think. It matters how we allow our flesh to control us and do whatever we want to let it do. It means something to us spiritually. And in that sense, it's not very good. Then face to face, meaning with nothing intervening, there's not going to be anything between you and Him. There's not going to be any flesh between you and Him that's going to keep you out of focus any longer. Hallelujah. be clear, perfect. When you get up to your mate and you're face to face with them, there ain't nothing. I mean, you like what you see. You enjoy being with who you are with. And I mean, that's great. Nothing's out of focus. You see each other for what you really are, and you still love each other. That's true love, and that's what's fun about life. Now we can't see him clearly. Why? Because we're looking through the natural most of the time. He says, now I know in part. And the word know here is the word gnosko. It means to know in a beginning sense, to come to know, to gain or receive a knowledge of. And that's what he's talking about where we're at now, and we do only know in part. But then, and the word then means at that time as relating to an actual event. He's not talking about some time in the future. No, we're never going to have to go there. That, you know, God will take care of it. We're free. We can do as we please. No, he's talking about an actual event that you're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ face to face, and you're going to deal with what you allowed your flesh to make you do and what's in your thought processes and in your soul yet. So at face to face at that time, then he says, after that, he says, then I shall know as I am known. And here it's epignosko. It means to know fully, to gain or receive a full knowledge of, become fully acquainted with, to know fully in a completed sense. Both these words, know, I shall know as I am known, are both the same word, epignosko. They both mean to be fully and in a completed sense. And I was reading in John Gill's full Bible commentary. I like what he said, and you'll have to follow me close. But he says, then I shall know even as I am known. And in other words, he's saying in the other world, in other words, when we're over there and in that state, Paul is signifying that he should know God and Christ and the angels and glorified saints and all truths in a perfect manner, even as he was known of God and Christ perfectly, allowing for the difference between the Creator and the creature. His sense is that he should have as full and complete a knowledge of persons and things as he is capable of. It would be like, though not equal to, the knowledge which God had of him, and which would be attended with the strongest love and affection to the objects known, even as he was known and loved of God. Stop and think for just as much as we possibly can. If you were in only your spiritual state without your flesh, and you were perfect right before God, and then you could know his love to the greatest ability that you're capable of as a true spiritual being with nothing in the way, that's where we're going. That's how we'll spend eternity. Hallelujah. Oh, friend, we've got so much good ahead of us. So much good. So much glory. So much to look forward to. Is this helping? Or is this scaring you? Okay, just checking. By doing the Word of God and not just hearing it, we begin to clear up the things that are out of focus in our lives. Go to James 1:22. So we're going to deal for a while now with changes that need to be made and where the Word of God tells us to do it. James 1:22. Be doers of the Word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves or misleading your own selves. But if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. Other thing, everything is out of focus. He observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he is. In the Greek, it is, not was, but is. How many of you have forgot that you were cleansed by the blood of Jesus, and you just let your flesh do what it wanted to do? How many of us have done that? Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have. We forget what manner of man we are. We look into the Word of God, we know what we should do, and we go away and we don't do it. And then we wonder why them black spots are in our soul when we get there? Don't need to wonder. The Bible tells us why. Verse 25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the works, this one will be blessed in what he does. Now we're talking about the difference here in verse 24 of a person not walking in humility and in verse 25 of a person walking in humility. He's a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. And then verse 26, if anyone among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his... Uh-oh. Does your tongue give you some dark spots? In the context of what we're speaking tonight, I'm afraid mine does. Still does. If we don't bridle that tongue. How many have put a bridle in a horse's mouth? What does that do to him? Puts him under control. That's what the Word of God will do to your tongue if you let it. That's what he's talking about when you read the Word of God and you go out and say anything you want. You're not going to be blessed in your deed. But if you go out and do what the Word of God says and you treat people and you speak to people with what the Word of God's telling you to do, then you're going to be blessed in what you do. I was visiting with a person this afternoon, talking with them, and the Holy Spirit told me there was something wrong. And so I reached out and touched this person. I said, is everything all right? And this person knows me very well and knows that they just as well sell what's on their heart because he's going to reveal it anyhow. And so they begin to talk. You know, it's just like you opened up a sore and it just came out. And I just loved on that person and just kept sharing with what the Holy Spirit told me to share. You just, until you do something like that, you don't know how blessed you are. Because you did what the Holy Spirit said to do. I was blessed this afternoon. I went away feeling excited in my spirit because I had did what he told me to do. I did the right thing with my mouth. I was very careful in what I said. How many of you have been talking to somebody and you know it was the Lord telling you to say things and then all of a sudden you'd start to say something and you're in your spirit you just don't do that. Don't go there. Don't say that. Then he'd bring some other things to your mind and you stay. And he'll lead you and guide you and tell you what to say and what to do. Because see, he's working in eternal things in that spirit that you're sharing with. As well as working eternal things in your spirit as you're sharing and as you're giving. And those things all have to do with the judgment seat of Christ because everything I say and do down here has to do with what I'll look like and where I'll be at when I get up there and have to deal with it up there. If I don't deal with it here, I will deal with it there. How about smiling? Come on, you guys, smile. Your flesh is not happy right now. I can tell. But you know what? Your spirit... And many of you right now, your spirit is leaping because you're getting a hold of something and realizing that I can become more like Jesus here. I can be changed and be more like Him here. The life of God, I can be changed from glory to glory. He's changing me because He's given us the pattern and the ability to do that through His living Word. And the living Word is ministering to your heart tonight because He's the teacher. He's the one that's doing what you need to do on the inside of you. Verse 27. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep one's self unspotted from the world. Let me just give you a real short rendition of what I think that's saying. What he's trying to do there is to get your mind off of yourself. Does that say the same to you? How many of you have went and helped somebody? What happened? You felt good. You knew you had done what was right spiritually. You had ministered to them. You had given of yourself. That's really what praise and worship is all about, is getting your mind off of yourself. That's what wearing the cloak of humility is all about, is doing things for others. Hearing what God wants you to do so He can minister through you to others. Do you realize that what He said in His Word is that as you ministers to others and you give of what God told you to give to them, it's the same as Jesus. If He was here, He would be doing it. It's Jesus through you. Aren't you a part of the body of Christ? Isn't he the head? Doesn't his life flow down through the whole body? When you reach out and give something, it's because the head is ministering through you to do that. And the more pure you become, the more life can flow through you. The more darkness in you, the less life can flow through you. Go over to Galatians 5, verse 24 and 25. Those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and lusts. That scripture talks like though as though it's already done. How many of us are acting like that's already done? There's quite a few times I sure haven't. But the more I stay close to Him, the more I spend time in prayer and worship and in the Word of God, the more I am beginning to do that word right there. Have crucified the flesh. If we live in the Spirit, that should be a small s. If you live in your spirit, walk in your spirit. In other words, quit walking in your flesh. That's all he's saying here. Quit letting your flesh have its way. Quit looking in the outward mirror out of focus. Get in the Word and focus in the Word of God and do what your spirit says to do, not what your flesh says to do. But I've worked hard all day. I deserve this and this and this or that and whatever you want to do at the time. How many of you excused yourself when you knew you should do something and you just went ahead and did what the flesh wanted anyhow? Well, you know, you can put them all up or you can put them all down. You're still guilty. I am. I could have and should have, but I didn't. Walk. The word walk. How do you say that, Pastor? Stoico? Stoico? The word walk there in verse 25, walk in the Spirit, S-T-O-I-C-H-E-O. He pronounces them better than I do. Anyhow, it signifies to walk in line and is used metaphorically of walking in relation to others. Well, it certainly wouldn't mean walking in relation to yourself. I mean, it don't make sense, does it? In other words, if you're going to walk and live in your spirit, then you're going to treat others by how you are in your spirit, not how things are in your flesh and how you want to treat them in your flesh. How many of you have been angry at somebody and yet something is going off inside of you saying, don't do that, don't say that, don't act like that? The Holy Spirit is inside of you trying to get you to slow down and think before you do something. How many of us have been guilty of putting mouth in motion before putting brain in gear? Yep, I sure have.
I'm good at it.
Anybody in here that hasn't had practice? I don't think so. Every one of us have had practice with saying and doing things and thinking later. How many have got repentance down to a science? I did? Thank you. Stoico. Walking in relation to others. Walking by your born-again spirit. It's an exhortation to keep step with one another with submission of heart to the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Now, we've used the heart and spirit interrelated many times. I've been guilty of this. And pastor's teaching now that when you talk about your heart, it's your spirit and your soul together. So that's what it's talking about here. And that's dealing with your spirit and your soul. Because the two will be together for eternity. And that's what's going to be on the judgment seat of Christ when you get there, is your spirit and soul together. And so that's some areas that got to be changed. and how we walk with one another is let's put it this way, God giving us the chance to improve ourselves. No shouts on that one. This is kind of heavy, isn't it? Didn't he disagree that it's not the Word of God? I don't think so. It's the Word of God, and he's dealing with every one of us right where we're sitting. You think I'm getting off this free because I'm teaching it? Not hardly. This has been going over in my spirit now for a full month, and it just burns a hole in you. You that get to teach stuff like this, you're going to get it worse than anybody else. The Holy Spirit told me that teaching is like, you know, many years ago, I had a 49 Cadillac, and I enjoyed pulling people out of ditches. I enjoyed helping people. I'd haul people to church with it. I'd pull them out of ditches. I'd haul hay with it. It didn't matter what it was. It was a car. You took it and you used it, and you done what you needed to. But I found out something when I'm pulling somebody out of a ditch up there in that country's all two-lane road, and there's always ditches alongside the road, and people get drunk and icy and different reasons. They go in off the side of the road. And I'd come along. I had a heavy car and I had a long chain. I'd hook it onto their car and I'd get up and start pulling them out of ditch. First time I did it, I got right up on the same side as him and I tried to pull him out of the ditch. Well, all I did was pull him along the ditch. Well, I figured, well, that's stupid. So I backed up and I pulled and I went clear off almost into the ditch on the other side. Now I'm using the weight of the car, and I'm also got a stronger pull up onto the road. I'm not pulling straight, I'm pulling him sideways. And I'd pull him up out of the ditch. As soon as he come up out of the ditch, I'd come back over, and we'd come back over to the center of the road and unhook, and then everything was fine. And the Holy Spirit said teaching's the same way. He said, John, most people are in the ditch in the areas that you teach, and he says you've got to hit them real hard to try and shake them out of that ditch and out of their thinking process that they're in, so they'll come up out of there and try and get on the road and get down the road where I'm sending them to go. Amen. He says, if you're light and easy on them, he says, you just pull them right alongside the ditch, just like you did them cars. I thought, well, that makes sense to me. I says, I'll just do what you tell me to do. So I guess that's my excuse for being so hard on you when I teach. But I got to do what he tells me to do. Because we're all in ditches in one area of our life or another, in them dark spots, and God wants to shake us up out of there and get us up into the light and get us set free. So from glory to glory, He can change us. If you can't see in the mirror of God where you're doing wrong, you'll never do right. You've got to see it in the Word of God. If you can't see it in the Word of God, what I'm teaching you, you'll never change. So if it hurt, thank Him, not me. You guys don't catch them tonight. You're... Anyhow. Shouldn't laugh at my own jokes, should I? I think we'll close right there. Because if I get started again, we got... Oh my, we can go through Colossians chapter 3, we can go through Romans chapter 12 and 13 and 14 and 15, and we can go back over to Galatians, and we can go through many areas, because every one of the areas deal with us on what we're doing in the flesh instead of what we're doing in the spirit. So, Lord willing, I'll get into those areas next week. I'm going to stop and turn it back over to Pastor. I think I've done enough damage for one night. Oh, hallelujah.